reached the final level. The Spicy McNugget side mission. Maximum flavour, crispy crunch, and a spicy dip with a kick.
Are you ready?
Spicy McNuggets, for a limited time only. Until the 9th of September 25. Fees apply to delivery. Participation and price may vary. Subject to availability. Serving times apply.
I've ruled out uni because I want to live at home.
I've ruled out uni because I want to earn money.
I've ruled out uni because of my grades.
Study with the Open University and there's no need to rule out anything. With our respected degrees, you can learn from home and work alongside study. We're open to all. Plus, you'll have the support of expert tutors. So rethink your future with the degree you didn't think was possible. The Open University. The future is open.
Welcome to this episode of Peak to Pit, Allie Peak, alongside TJ Pittinger, which, pronounce your last name for me. Eric and I have had an ongoing debate the last several weeks, and every time we record one of these, I forget to ask, pronounce your last name for me, because he says I do it wrong.
We've been doing this, I don't even know how you just pronounced it, but we've been friends for like over 2 years. We've been doing this for over a year, and you're just now asking me.
Because I think I'm right, so I don't think there's any need to ask you, but out of...
So, TJ Pittinger.
Pittinger. Okay, so I was saying it wrong. I was saying Pittinger. Pittinger.
Well, that's the same. Oh, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I the way you said it was fine, too. That's probably the right way you're supposed to... Like, the way you said it probably is right. I just say it kind of like the lazier way. Like, I don't emphasize it enough.
Perfect. We'll both tell Eric I'm right. Awesome.
I'm going to text him right now. You're wrong again.
Well, it's championship week. Are we excited?
I
guess
am.
I don't know. Does this get to count this championship week? We're a couple days away.
No, definitely. Like, we would have normally recorded on a Tuesday. We're recording Thursday night because I kept pushing it off. But no, we're going to be closer to championship week than we normally would be. So 4 days away. I'm excited for it. I'm more excited than I would have been if you would have told me it was going to be Ohio State and Bama. I really thought that, you know, Bama would wipe the floor. I mean, I didn't think we were going to flip-flop on our picks. I didn't think that Clemson was going to end up losing and Bama wouldn't cover the spread. But somehow...
Here we
college
are.
Football is college football. So
did Bama cover this? Oh, that's right. They didn't.
I kind of
that's
like right. Backdoor lost it. So, which with big spreads like that, I mean, like the game was never a question. We'll talk about it in a minute.
Right.
But anyway, back to the question that you asked. Yes, I am. Ohio State looked incredible. I don't know that they'll play with that same passion that they – not that they'll have a hard time getting up for the national championship or Alabama or anything. But, I mean, you could just tell. Ohio State looked like they – just wanted to beat Clemson's head in because Clemson had beaten them 31-0 a couple of years ago. Then they beat them in a game with a lot of questionable calls and a last second interception by Justin Fields on a miscommunication last year. And then you had Dabo voting them 11th and you had all the talk that they didn't belong and, you know, X, Y, Z, like everything that could have been against them. And they came out and just laid the absolute hammer on Clemson. It was great to see. Great to see Dabo shut up. But so with all that considered, Ohio State looked better than they had looked all year. I'm so glad the committee put them in.
To be fair, we had only seen them a handful of times all year, but sure.
Yeah, and I think we're going to get a good national championship game.
I think we are too.
I think it's going to be fun. I know you got to get one more dig in at them. You know, I read some things. What are your thoughts on this? I read that maybe the issue with Ohio State was that they just didn't have enough time to gel. Maybe like they just hadn't clicked yet. Like that hadn't. They couldn't get in a rhythm. They kept having games canceled. You know, and
that's hard.
Looking at it with hindsight, it looks like that's the case. It looked like they finally did click. You know, I mean, you know, if they'd have looked like that against Indiana or Northwestern or something like that, you'd be like, well, those teams suck. You know, but to do that against Clemson, nobody, even when Bama's beaten Clemson, right?
Right. Like Clemson doesn't suck.
It's been close.
Sure.
But they just, I mean, the game wasn't even competitive.
No, it really wasn't.
I don't remember who scored first. Either Clemson scored first and Ohio State came right down and answered. But as soon as like when Clemson had the ball that first possession, like I was like, man, this is going to be tough for Ohio State. And then really after that, They just look
Justin
normal.
Fields looked great, especially compared to how he looked in some of the earlier games. Their only ranked matchups, he really struggled this year, but he looked awesome.
Yeah, no, he, I mean, his
really
talent.
Interested to know what his, did they never said what his injury was, did they? Because I guarantee you he had broken ribs.
Yeah, I mean, if they weren't broken, they were as bruised
real
as
bruised.
Can be without, yeah, as bruised as they could be without being broken. Yeah, I mean, and what a, you know, we say this all the time, but like, what an absolute warrior, like, to keep going in there and getting back in there, getting
gutsy
after it.
Performance.
I think he only missed one play. I think he missed one play and then came right back in.
And he had to because, you know, he was down, whatever. And but
so,
actually, take that
like,
back. I think he missed one series now that I say that. But because
really?
He was in the tent getting checked out. I don't know. I'll have to go back
tent.
And look at that.
Yeah, I thought he got hurt, came out for a play, went back in, finished, like, threw a touchdown the next play, and then went into the
tent during the tent. I don't know. I'll have to look into that. But either way, I mean, stud.
Yeah.
Total stud.
Incredible. And he is a great talent. Like, Trevor Lawrence is the most NFL-ready quarterback. Like, he's going one to the Jaguars. But, like, Justin Fields is going really high, too.
Oh,
like,
Justin Fields 22 of 28, 385 yards, 6 touchdowns. Like, what? Yeah.
Against a defense that, I mean, Clemson's defense is always really, really good. Like, we bemoaned the Clemson performance against Notre Dame and said, like, well, they didn't have those defensive players. And then when they had them, they held Notre Dame to what? Did Notre Dame score 7, right? Like, late in the, like, you know, just to be able to do that on that stage against Clemson while you're hurt. And the Ohio State defense looked really, really good, too. You know, like, Clemson's defense is great, but their offense is better. ETN's going to be a great pro. Trevor Lawrence is going to be a great pro. They've got so many weapons. And so, I don't know. I think we're going to get a great game. You know, Alabama, you know, as unimpressively as you can, just absolutely dominated and made that game as boring as possible. Sure. You know, they are so complete. And I've never seen a team truly have three of the top five. I don't even remember. I know it's been retweeted and said and talked about, but I don't even remember a team having a quarterback, running back, and wide receiver as great as they have right now.
Yeah.
Right. Like, to have three players that are unquestionably three of the top five players in the league in the country is just absurd. Right. And they have not only three of the top five, and I know that, you know, the debate will be on the quarterback, but they have the best running back and the best wide receiver, right? Like, that's not even a question. And then I think, you know, quarterback's a weird one because, you know, Trask had the best stats. Lawrence probably is the best of the three, but then I don't know. Mac Jones has been great too. So to have that with all of the other studs that Alabama has, and then you add in the fact that Jalen Waddle's a game time decision, you know, like, This team
is one of the
most talented teams.
It's crazy to think that if Waddle doesn't
ever get
hurt, who knows if Smith's Heisman season happens like this. Because there's only one ball, you know? And it doesn't take away from Smith's talent at all. He's a freaking phenom. But Waddle's a complete stud too. So it's interesting because if Waddle doesn't go down, I don't know that Devonta's getting the love that he currently is.
Yeah, I mean, it probably goes to Mac Jones, I would assume, just because, you know, I feel like that's what would have happened, but kind of weird that Trevor Lawrence finished second.
I think that was really bizarre just because he's not anywhere. And I understand what you're saying about, like, he's the most NFL ready, but that's not what we base our Heisman on. Right. So he wasn't a leader in any statistical category and had for him kind of a down year. And I mean, I say that incredibly hesitantly because even a down year he's incredible. But also, he missed, what, 3 games? It just seemed very weird.
He missed 2.
It just seems very weird that he finished second. It almost felt like a lifetime achievement award as opposed to this season, which, I mean, I guess you can vote that way. I mean, that, I don't think in theory, I think in the definition of what you're voting for, it says this season. But I think that that's why he got votes as a lifetime achievement award.
Yeah, it's definitely strange. I mean, he had a better completion percentage this year than he had. He had more yards a game this year than he had ever had. He had a better passing yards per play than he'd ever had. His touchdowns were down, but his rating was higher. So, like, statistically, he was outside of touchdowns, he was better like on average, right? Like you play less games, you're going to have less total yards, but he was still really good.
Yeah.
But it seemed weird. It almost seemed like he probably would have finished fourth or so, but then Florida just kept taking losses. And so that's why they dropped Trask. And I don't know if
I think if Florida beats LSU, Trask wins it. I don't know that it even necessarily matters, the Florida Alabama outcome, but especially if it ended up being a 6-point game, just like it was. But
yeah, possibly right before the LSU game, you know, Mac Jones had overtaken Trask as the favorite, and then obviously they lost LSU, and that was kind of the end of it. So it would have been interesting to see if Trask beats.
I think that depended on who you were looking at too, though, because it was either even and some of it just, I kind of think it depended on the source on that. That was something that was, if he was the favorite, a slim margin, but yeah, it would have been interesting to see.
Yeah. Like what would have happened there in Atlanta.
I think it affects Trevor Lawrence, honestly, you know, maybe more than anybody else, if he wins that game, but you know, c'est la vie.
So speaking of, we'll talk about the playoff a little bit later. Did you see, and we talked about this a little bit the other day, we were talking about expanding the playoff to make bowls mean a little bit more. And I talked with more people about that, and I'm pretty convinced that that's just got to be the answer at the end of the day, to make these games a little bit more meaningful. This was without a doubt the worst bowl season that I've ever seen. And it wasn't even close.
It was not great at all.
I mean, if you think of it right now, like what was the best, like off the top of your head, what was the best bowl game that you saw? I mean, the Liberty Coastal one was crazy at the end, and I obviously had a little like reason to cheer for that one. Really good. But like there wasn't just a, I guess the UGA Cincinnati game was kind of good.
The best one.
Texas A&M UNC was fun. Texas A&M put like a late touchdown on to kind of make it look a little further apart than it was. But yeah, the bowl season was just terrible.
No, it wasn't great.
And so again, it was a COVID year. So you would expect a little bit of an uptick next year to if we're out of this, to be a little bit better. But man, I think the opt-outs are just going to keep continuing. And I think it's going to be pretty bad for a while. I think it'll be worse until it gets better because they change it. And college football has to adapt. Did you see the Miami game? I think it was the night before your game. Again, in a meeting. And I think things like this are going to impact it too. Derek King went down and got hurt.
Yeah.
Again, in a meaningless game. And if he'd opted out of that game, I mean, quarterbacks don't often, right? Like you don't have a lot of quarterbacks that opt out. But like do things like that, do injuries in that last meaningless game make people consider opting out more, you know?
Yeah, of course they do.
A lot of Florida's talent opted out of their game, but you know, Trask didn't, you know, and quarterbacks for some reason rarely do. I think because they know, like,
I think because they're the team leader. And
yeah, if I opt out, man, these guys are losing for sure.
I think that they take more responsibility for the team as a whole than any other position. I mean, and not that I think they do.
So Miami ended up losing their bowl game. Florida played the next night, and weird game for Kyle Trask. Didn't play super well. I don't know if it was just kind of like the letdown from
honestly,
not being in or what. I mean, people have these games, right? Like Jameis threw 4 interceptions against you guys 1 year. Like
I think more than anything, honestly, is that I think that he trusted the new crop of wide receivers probably more than he should have. And I think that there's such chemistry between him and the ones this year, because of course that's who he's always practicing with, that it's almost giving these guys that really don't have any experience at all almost more benefit of the doubt than they maybe deserve at this point. And the chemistry is not there because they don't practice with each other in that way with like you do with the ones. And I mean, I don't know this with any certainty, but if I had to guess, I would guess that some of the things that happened were probably due to some kind of error on the wide receiver's part. That doesn't mean that Trask didn't make any mistakes or anything like that, but I would bet there was some wrong route running and things like that that at least contributed to Trask's play.
Yeah, so he didn't look good. Florida got down early. I think it was 17-0. And then fought back. I think it ended up being like 17-13, and they were driving there. And I really thought they were going to tie it up. I believe they had picked off a pass from Spencer Rattler.
Yeah, which never happens.
And they ended up kicking the field goal there and couldn't tie it up. And then I think Oklahoma came back and scored another touchdown to go up 11. And at that point, it just kind of was – getting close to halftime, it was a big lead, and the wheels kind of came off, and UF ended up dropping it. I don't even know what it was a lot, 55 or something. So not a great showing there. And then, you know, like we said, and what sucks is as great as it is to watch your rival, you know, drop a big game on national TV. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm not upset about this at all. That, at full strength, that would have been one of the most, because Oklahoma was missing some guys too. Don't get me wrong. At full
strength, they were not missing in any way near the same level.
That's not what I said. I said they were missing some guys too. Don't get me wrong. But at full strength, I think that would have been the most fun ball game of.
I think it would have been a good game.
I think just the offensive firepower that both teams had, like Florida's starting offense would have scored on them, right? Like, it's a Big 12 defense. Like, they would have scored. Florida's offense was scoring on everybody. I think that game would have been so, so much fun. And
yeah,
what sucks is that all those guys opted out, and, you know, the game was fun in a different way, right? Like, for a guy that's cheering for a team to not do well, but, like, not as much fun as the Alabama-Florida game was, right? Like, I'd rather Oklahoma won by, like, 6 on a last-second touchdown, you know? Yeah, like,
well, just in general, like in terms of watching a good game, I think both these teams full strength, I think it's a fun game. I do think that Florida wins. So Oklahoma was missing 3 players. I just looked it up. I mean, missing 25 players from the SEC championship game. That's crazy, right? But I will say this, I don't like the concept that a bowl game doesn't matter. I don't accept that as like, I know we talked about this prior to the game and you were saying, you know, they don't really matter that much. I think they do. I think they should. I think that it's a privilege to play in a bowl game. I think that it is a great reward for young guys for, you know, getting experience or walk-ons and players that don't necessarily get to see the field during the regular season. Like, I think that we should treat bowl games with more reverence than maybe we do. I understand why this has become the way that it's become, and it's totally all the playoffs. And I kind of have mixed emotions about the opt-outs because, well, I feel like, you know, that sucks. This is not the same Florida team that there was a week ago. And if you guys hadn't opted out, it could have been a great game and we probably would have beaten Oklahoma. But at the same time, who the heck am I to tell somebody to risk millions of dollars to play in a game that isn't winning them anything at the end? So I feel very conflicted on that part, but I felt like Florida looked unprepared. I don't know if I was just unprepared as a fan to see what I saw. I did not realize there were going to be that many opt-outs until the game happened. I mean, we knew of a few players, but they announced the opt-outs. They didn't announce people missing because of injury. We only knew a couple because of COVID. Like, I felt like I was missing some information going into this game, and maybe I wouldn't have had such high expectations had I realized. But I don't like the idea that we can just say it didn't really matter.
Yeah, I don't like that either. I wish your coach agreed with us on saying that, but at the end of the day, they can matter to us and
still not matter to them.
And we can want them to matter, but they, at this point, they don't matter to these teams and they don't matter to these players. And I completely agree with you on
that. That kind of depends on the situation, though.
Right. That's not universal. It's not every single team.
For Oklahoma, this did matter. And I don't it didn't matter for Florida, because I think that's insulting to Oklahoma. Oklahoma showed up. They played. They were the better team. They get the credit for doing that. But I think that when you drop a game early, you back into your conference championship, you weren't sure you were going to be there, you're the underdog, you win, and then you get a New Year's Six Bowl, it's a different feeling than feeling like, shoot, I just let this season slip through my hands right at the very end here. And I think that there are, lots of teams, it is very specific per team. I don't think in general we can say if you're not in the playoffs, the bowls don't matter. But I think for those teams who don't have the season that they thought they were going to, or miss out at the very end or something like that, it unfortunately, it doesn't mean as much, and it's hard to get motivated for it.
I think we've also found out that when an SEC team wins their bowl game, it did matter to them. And when they lose their bowl game, it didn't. So that's a good litmus test as well. If you can't tell before the game starts, 60 minutes later, you can always tell whether or not that team cared about the game.
I hate you guys, by the way.
But all that said, no, I agree with you. That's not universal that everyone doesn't care about the bowl games, or everyone thinks they don't matter.
Example, but 2 years ago, when Dan Mullen's first year in Florida made a New Year's Six Bowl, everybody was freaking pumped to be there. And I think the same thing last year too. They felt like they had something to prove. And it's this year, it kind of felt like a letdown, which is crappy because look, they're a New Year's Six Bowl all 3 years. It's a major accomplishment. It should be looked at as that anyway. But it all depends on the circumstances, that got you there, I guess.
Yeah, no, the year before Mullen had gotten there, they had won 4 games. And so going to New York Six Bowl was awesome.
Huge, yeah. Right?
And so then you go to a New Year's Six Bowl 2 years later when you really thought that you
had a chance
should have been
the
competing
playoffs
for a national championship. Yeah, like it's a letdown. I can't imagine that Georgia was super excited to go play Cincinnati. Right. Their expectations were the playoff as well.
But I also think because they missed out on the conference championship, I think when you miss out on the conference championship game, you have longer to wrap your head around the fact that you're not going to the playoffs. And I think that maybe your attitude's a little different. But like, I remember I don't even know what year it was, maybe 2012, Florida played in the Sugar Bowl, and it was my brother's last year. Florida was playing Louisville, but there was an outside chance that they were going to play for a national title, and they were left on the outside looking in. And the whole week, my brother was like, we're going to get curb stomped. We're going to get killed. Everybody's out till 4 in the morning. Coaches don't care. Players don't care. That this would have been his 5th bowl game. He's like, I've never seen anything like this. This is a totally different attitude than we've literally ever had at a bowl game. And then they got killed by Louisville. And so it's interesting. Like, it is a real thing. And I know that fans think that it's a cop out, or, that it's a convenient excuse, but like, I mean, it is real. It's just stupid that that's the way it is.
I can't wait to see after next year's UF bowl game whether or not they cared about it. Like, I'm excited for...
I think that determines on how the season goes.
After the bowl game happens and the result is determined, then we can figure out whether or not UF cared. Right.
The ACC gives zero Fs, clearly. Oh, no, they were 0-6.
They were definitely checked out. They were worried about COVID. They were about their families. They had more important things to worry about than bowl games during a pandemic year. So, no, the ACC was terrible in bowl games this year. UNC, I thought that UNC Texas A&M game was really, really good. They had like 4 guys out. Both their running backs were out. I mean, they just looked – they actually looked good for how many guys they had out. Texas A&M was a team that had like no opt-outs. They were one of the few teams that had like nobody opting out.
Which is interesting because that's a team that, and I guess maybe it works, like that's a team that it could have gone either way. That could be a team that felt so let down because they felt like they should be in there. I think because they really haven't.
The other side of that was they don't have anybody going. Like there's nobody on that roster that needed to opt out.
I think that they felt like they had something to prove, though. Like, they were pissed that they were left out. And I think that, you know, that obviously helped some, but it is interesting to look at the matchups of like where these SEC teams ranked within the conference. And then and not just for the UNC Texas A&M game, but then where their opponent in their opponent's conference ranked. And the SEC team was always lower ranked than the team in the other conference that they were playing. And I mean, they didn't have many issues with them.
Yeah, no, the teams that the SEC was playing just obviously didn't care. Except for, like, all the SEC teams cared except for Florida. Like,
right.
What we found out. For some reason, the UF team just didn't care. But all that said, because teams or because stars on teams or, you know, if you take all the guys that are going to get drafted off of any team and then try and play a football game, like, it's just not good. Like, it's just
right.
not
it's
good.
Not the same.
So, like, what does the NCAA now do? And I don't necessarily mean for 2021, but or 2022. Like, but what does the NCAA now do to make these games better? Because I do not like. We talked about this. I love March Madness. Nobody opts out of March Madness. Nobody says like, "Oh, okay, we just made the dance." Like, I'm out. Nobody opts out. You know, I love. We're gonna talk about it in a minute. I love the NFL playoffs. Like, the NFL playoffs are. It's the best sport at the highest level. With everything on the line, winner got like the NFL playoffs are amazing. And like this year, we get three games on Saturday and Sunday. Like, it's a lot of fun. Obviously, nobody's opting out of NFL games, but like those games are awesome, right? I love the NBA finals, I love the NHL finals. World Series is awesome, but I do not want to see bowl season just completely be a nothing burger again, right? Like, it sucked this year.
Yeah.
It was nice to have football on. Like, no complaints.
We had less bowl games than ever, and they were just games getting canceled left and right. So I do think, while I totally agree with what you're saying, that the bowl season just is becoming less and less meaningful, I think that this year in particular was really bad, at least in part because of the stuff that's going on with COVID too.
I agree with that. I don't think that many people... First of all, no major games got canceled. The biggest game that got canceled was TCU versus Arkansas. I don't know that anything in that game would have made me change my stance that like this was a terrible bowl season.
Sure.
So, you know, games were canceled. That did impact it. There were less games overall. There wasn't a game that we didn't have like the Gasparilla Bowl. Like, there was a lot of stuff here in Tampa that didn't happen. But all that said, I think that very few people, if any, opted out due to COVID. And so your opt outs of what made the big games not as fun was due to the NFL. And I don't think that is going to subside. Will we have more bowl games to watch next year? Yes. But if everybody's opting out of them, you know, we're going to get more like, basically what we're going to get is more low level bowl
right,
games.
Right.
You know, like, you know, all the teams that opted
more
out.
Scrimmages.
Yeah. Like, it's just not, I don't know. So I hope that the NCAA kind of changes some things and we get back to the, you know, enjoying bowl season or whatever. And I would be fine. So I threw out the number of 16. I think 16 would be good because if you took our top 16 teams right now, it's all these teams we've just mentioned here today, UGA, Cincinnati, Texas A&M, UNC, Oklahoma State and Miami would be in there. You know, like, you'd have all these teams that Texas, Colorado, that game wasn't, you know, wasn't great, but like you'd have Texas, you know, like you'd have some of these teams and you'd make it a 16 team playoff and all of the best teams would, all their players would stay in. And then if you wanted to have meaningless bowl games for like the rest of them, just to feel like they got some kind of consolation, like, let's roll with it. Like, let's roll with kind of like an NIT tournament or whatever, or just like one-off bowl games. Like, that's fine too. Just playing a one-off meaningless bowl game and call it a day, or nothing. You don't have to have something just to go to the end of it if you don't finish ranked high, because you're going to get more games anyway. Like, a 16 team tournament is going to be 15 games, right? So you're going to get more games that way anyway. So we talked about this a little bit, and we're just going to, I think, be quick tonight. I don't think we have a ton more outside of this, but we talked about it a little bit, but I know you're going to pick Alabama in this game, and I'm picking Bama too to win. But like, What are your thoughts on this national championship? Like, what chance does Ohio State have if they come out and play like they did against Clemson? You know, what are your thoughts for Monday night?
So I think that Ohio State has a lot better chance than I thought that they had prior to last week. All right. I think Alabama wins. I'll pick Alabama. I would never, ever, ever go against Saban. But I think that Ohio State is fresh. I think they've had a lot because of all of the downtime. I find it very hard to believe that they wouldn't have watched film on Alabama in those down weeks where they were, you know, allowed to practice but not allowed to play games. I'm sure they watched it on Clemson too. I'm sure they basically, it's pretty easy to say, we know those two teams will be in the playoffs, so let's start watching some film on them relatively early. So whereas, you know, when you're playing every single week without a bye, you don't really have a whole lot of time to look ahead. So by virtue of COVID or whatever, Ohio State had some more free time on their hands, and I'm sure that they used it appropriately. So I think Ohio State's defense was better than I expected them to be. I think that that's always kind of been what we've heard about them this year, is that they do have a good defense, but I was impressed with what they were able to do against Clemson. I think that Justin Fields' health will be a factor in this. Are his ribs broken? That would be my guess. Are they just bruised? How healed has he been able to get over the last, you know, few days? Alabama's gonna gun for those ribs. I'm not saying in a dirty play type of way, but they're going to try and hit him and make it hurt. So I think a lot will rely on that. But I mean, Alabama's defense is not great, right? Ohio State's going to get theirs. I think there's a really great chance this turns into a track meet, which I'm super here for. I think we're going to get a good national championship game, and I think Alabama's going to win.
Yeah, the over-under is set at 75, so implying that the score is something like, I don't know, what's half of 76 is 38, so four off of that, like something like 42 to 34, you know, like 42 to 35 kind of type final score. You know, that'd be awesome, right? Like I'd take 75 points. I think so too. I don't think Alabama's defense is great. And so I think Ohio State will be able to score just like Florida did, just like, you know, Ole Miss did, just like other teams, you know, have on Alabama all year. I think that Ohio State's defense may be able to slow Alabama down a little bit. But again, they probably have the best three players in the country on their team.
Sure.
And if they get Waddle back this weekend, it could be kind of crazy. Who knows how great he'll be. But, I mean, he's, you know, he is my favorite player in college football. I was devastated when he got hurt. He's my favorite player in college football that like doesn't play for my team. Yeah. He is just an absolutely special talent, and hopefully I hope he's at 100% just because I love him and want him to do really well. But yeah, that team is just so loaded. You know, I know that Mac Jones has had a great year, and I just said that they have the best three players, you know, on their team. What I will say is Justin Fields is at his best, Justin Fields is a better quarterback than Mac Jones. I mean, there's no doubt.
I would agree
with
that statement.
And so, you know, a lot of times in these games, the elite quarterback can rise up to a level that the other guy just can't get to. And
sure.
I'm not saying that, you know, Justin Fields is just going to dominate this game or dominate Alabama or anything.
No, but he has the ability to,
you know. He's that kind of player. And Mac Jones, for as good as he's been, I mean, for throwing for 4,000 yards and 36 touchdowns, he's been great. But I don't know that I see him just dominating this Ohio State team because, you know, he's handing the ball off to Najee Harris 20 times, right, on Monday night.
I think he has other people on his team that can dominate Ohio State. He's
going to throw jump balls to Devontae Smith like nobody's business. So, you know, I think that sometimes when you have that elite quarterback, it can just kind of do weird things and special things. And so it'll be interesting to see. I hope that it's a great game. I don't really care who wins. I think I'd prefer Alabama, but I don't really care. As long as it's close, I think that'd be kind of my main wish. Clemson being out of there kind of made it where I didn't care as much who won.
I mean, I think I always want the SEC to win. I know that you ACCers don't necessarily relate to that, but I think
I'm not an ACCer. I'm not an ACCer. I don't cheer for the ACC. I'm glad they went 0-6. Like I don't like any team in the ACC. I cheer against them every week. So, but go ahead.
I think that Alabama's players have made it really hard for me to root against them this season. I don't know if you listened to Smith's Heisman speech. I just, it made me tear up. He's talking about all you kids out there who aren't the fastest and aren't the biggest. Like, if you work hard, you can achieve your goals. Like, it was just so sweet and humble and very innocent. And then, Mac Jones just came across as incredibly humble and hardworking. And who was it that was on? I don't know if you saw this or not. There was a player on getting interviewed for the about the national championship game, and he heard the voice of the reporter that was asking him a question on Zoom, and he recognized him. And it was Najee Harris, I'm pretty sure, is who the player was, but he recognized the player or the reporter on the Zoom call from somebody that used to follow him in high school. And he was like, whatever the guy's name is, hey, Matt, whatever the guy, is that you? Are you there? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, I remember you used to cover, whatever. And it just was so sweet and cute. And I don't know, maybe it's because I covered high school football for a bajillion years that I had a soft spot for it. But their personalities seem less robot-like than many Nick Saban players in the past. And it makes it difficult to want to root against them.
Yeah, no, I like in most situations, unless there's like something already there that makes me not like it. I like cheering for greatness. Like I mean, I was a big Kobe fan. So like there was this like big fake, like Kobe versus LeBron rivalry that never existed. Like you learn like these guys are like best friends and everything else. I think, once Kobe retired, it was kind of like, all right, well, I'll just cheer for LeBron. Like, great. Like, I'm still like the Lakers more than anything, but like, I'll cheer for LeBron. Like, that's fine. Yeah. Like, I want to see greatness. Like it'd be great to make a troll if LeBron lost in the second round of the playoffs, but like what would be better is to see LeBron go absolutely bonkers in the finals. Like that is more entertaining, right? Like, and same thing here. Like people hate the Patriots. I've always cheered for Tom Brady. Like I want to see greatness. Like that's like Tom Brady would be in the Super Bowl. I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to cheer for that guy again. Like, I don't care. Like we watched that Rams Super Bowl where the final score was like 17-7 or something. Like it was the worst Super Bowl I've ever seen in my life. And I was just like, doesn't matter, six rings, like let's go. So and that's the same thing here. Like, Saban and the monster that he's built, it is just absurd. And again, I don't really care who wins the game because I kind of like Justin Fields too, and I'll be happy if he wins. I think that's kind of a cool way to go out. But I like seeing greatness, right? Like if a weird Notre Dame upset would have happened last week, like I wouldn't be as excited because we all know that Ohio State would beat the hell out of them, right? Like I'm glad that this is the matchup we got. I'm glad that we got the best two teams, and I'm excited to see it. And I'm excited to, again, see just absolutely the most elite, I mean, college football coach and program that we've ever seen, continue to just go down this path of wiping the floor with everybody else. So Alabama wins, and I'll go into this now. Let me recap these picks from last week. We had about a million of them. First show of the new year, by the way. Do you have any New Year's resolutions? You guys do this?
We usually do. We didn't really talk about them this year. I've been trying to drink a ridiculous amount of water every day, though.
I thought you were going to say like bourbon or something. because we drank bourbon.
We already do that. I don't need a resolution for it. I need to flush the rest out.
Oh, that's funny.
No, but not really. Stay alive. We have four children, six and under. Stay alive is the goal.
I'm not big on resolutions either. So I don't really have anything. I was just asking you, but we did wear our, Bryant wore, or somebody wore the Christmas jammies you guys got for them again, like either last night or the night before. Like we're not ready to retire these.
Oh yeah. We're not ready to retire Christmas jammies yet either.
We'll retire Christmas jammies when they go up in a size and they no longer fit. Like it'll be like we basically just let Elena pick whatever she wants.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
She walked in and we're like, what do you want to wear? And she's like, Halloween. And we're like, bad news on that one, fam. Like you're a little too pudgy for that, you know, like, sorry. But yeah, she asked for Christmas now. We're still like, yeah, sure. All right. All that said, these picks from last week, you did better than, oh no, no, you didn't. Sorry. You did well though. We both got Oklahoma State winning by one over Miami. We both got Texas -7.5 against Colorado. You got Wisconsin, who covered against Wake Forest. I got Oklahoma -3. You got Mississippi State over Tulsa. Neither of us got the San Jose State game, right? Ball
right,
State
that got upset canceled, them. Right?
No. Oh. Ball State beat them.
Okay. I don't know. I must be thinking of the Arkansas game.
Yeah. That one got – Arkansas got canceled. I got the Army game. They were a 7-point dog to West Virginia. Neither of us got the UGA game. UGA won but didn't cover the 7 points. I got the Northwestern one. They beat Auburn by more than 3.5. Neither of us got Bama. I did get Ohio State. I took them to cover but not win. You got Kentucky. You got Ole Miss. We both got Iowa State. And you got Texas A&M. You went 7-for-15. I went 8-for-15, bringing our season totals to – I am 53-50, and you are 48-55. So what that means is you really need to turn it on here in the NFL playoffs, because I've added these to it, because I just can't. Yeah. I can't give this up.
Can't quit
this. The degenerate in me says that we're going to keep going. We may go all the way through the NBA finals. We'll see. Bills -6.5 against the Colts. I like the Bills here.
I actually like the Bills too. Sorry.
That's fine. You can pick with me. I mean, you're right for like picking the Bills there. So Seattle's a 3.5-point favorite against the Rams.
Give me the Rams.
I took Seattle. I really think that the Rams have a great chance of that, but like they have looked terrible lately. So the Ravens are a 3-point favorite at the Titans. I like the Titans here to cover the spread.
Give me the Ravens.
The Saints are a 10-point favorite at home against the Bears. I do like the Saints to cover.
I do too. I like the Saints.
Is that because Jameis plays there? The Browns or the Steelers are a 6-point dog, a 6-point favorite. Sheesh. Against the Browns.
This is a hard one. I'll take the Browns. I don't know why. Well.
The Bucks are an 8-point favorite on the road at Washington. Oh, I wrote a cuss word on here. It's football team.
Gimme. Yeah,
offend,
you did. You
I'm
did.
Offend anybody that reads my notes.
Darn it. Gimme the Bucks.
Darn it. I like the Bucks to win. I like the football team to cover. That's so stupid. And then after the playoffs, Monday night, we can make this one worth more points if you want to. Alabama -8 against Ohio State. Do you want to make this one worth more points? We can make it worth 5 points if you want.
Okay. We'd definitely make it worth 5 points. I'm going to take Alabama to cover because I can't bet against Saban. But I'll tell you what, 8 points gives me pause because I don't know. I mean,
it's a lot of points.
It's a lot of points in a game that I feel like will be close. But you I'm going to take Alabama.
You need these 5 points. And I was going to, you know, I'm not picking Ohio State because I want you to catch up or anything like that. Like there's nothing. But I'm kind of nervous about it now. I was hoping you'd pick the same way as me so I wouldn't lose 5 points. But this would be a great way for you to catch up. All right. Do you have anything else? Anything else that's happened this week in the sports world you want to talk about?
Not in the sports world. I think we're
or
good.
Or any other world that we're going to talk about on here.
Not that we're going to talk about on here.
All right. Well, we appreciate everybody listening, and we will be back next week to recap some NFL playoffs and probably another Nick Saban national championship. So we'll talk to you then.